All right. So that's a pleasure to be back here. And I say back because exactly a year ago I was with you. I was standing here with another team sharing my testimony, like Preciosa did this morning. And to be honest, I feel much more comfortable sharing my story than being like exposing the Word of God, because that's a big responsibility. But I will do it with all my heart this morning. And I'm sure I pray that God will speak to you personally through that. I will join as well my personal experience, that we may really understand what God wants to say. So this morning I will take you to the book of Numbers. Do you display the verses on the screen? All right, great. First of all, when I was reading, when I was reading Numbers, Leviticus, all these books, I said, you know, in the middle of the rules of the offering, the sacrifices, the census, I say, wow, if I ever get any preaching from that, I'm good. I'm good. But at the end, there is a verse that struck my attention. So in the middle of that context, can we put, please, Numbers 7, verse 89. So just this verse, let's say, well, I don't even my Bible is here. No, 89. Sorry, not 8. Yeah, no, that's my accent. Sorry, I hope you will understand despite my French accent. Yeah, when Moses entered the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from between the two cherubim, above the atonement cover, on the ark of the testimony, and he spoke with him. And I was like, wow, just wait a second, God. I want to understand that. He was going to the tent of meeting where the presence of God was. So he was going to the presence of God. And he heard the voice of God talking directly to him. I said, but that's incredible. I said, I want that as well. Why Moses have it and I don't have it? I want to hear your voice the same, Lord. But then I asked myself, it's true that this belongs to the Old Testament when he was going to the tent of the meeting. And I said, yeah, but where should I go today to hear your voice? And I realized that at that moment, I was still living in what I call the Old Testament paradigm. You say paradigm, yeah? Yeah. Thank you. Old Testament paradigm. And this paradigm, I found just two verses that explain it wonderfully. Can we go to 2 Chronicles 7, 12 to 14. Yeah, sorry, I have many verses today. I'm going to give you a lot of job. You know what? It's when Solomon dedicated the temple, so the place to God. God appeared to him in a dream, and he said simply to Solomon, so the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Is my mic still on? Alright. Because I feel no different. So that's the point of the old paradigm. It's like, first of all, God was in a place, definite place, the temple, where we have to come with sacrifices. Then, very often in the Old Testament, he says, I will hear you from heaven. And Nehemiah and Daniel as well call him the Lord of heaven. Today we call him our Father, our Dad, who is next to us, who is living in us. At that time he was the Lord of heaven, so that's a distance. They had to come to one place, and he said, if for example I shut up the heavens, there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour your land. So that means, if you are in big trouble, come to me, humble yourself, and turn from your evil ways, and I will heal your land. So that basically, if I apply that, I mean, because say, yeah, that's the Old Testament. But for example, myself, I was living this paradigm in my life. I explain it. I was going to church, to the temple, to ask God, especially when I have problem, I was really eager in prayer, you know. I was pouring my heart before God, and I was saying, yeah, I turned from my evil ways, and all the stuff that I kept going in a few months after. And at the end, he blessed me. And I say, and I really thought at that moment, when I read that verses, I say, wow, for a long while I've been living, and maybe other people are living still in the Old Testament paradigm. And I say, I don't want that. There must be much more. And during many years of my Christian life, actually, almost until when I arrived to IBTI, I was living that kind of life with God. But there I study well what is to be a new creation in Christ. What is the New Testament paradigm? Because the Bible said, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit dwells in you? I say, wait a second, I am the temple of God. I don't need to go to any temple. And the Spirit dwells in me. So I can access freely in myself what Moses was going to look for in the tent of the meeting. And to express this new paradigm, New Testament paradigm, I've chosen Hebrews 10. Sorry. Hebrews 10 from verse 20 to 22. So, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, we have confidence to enter the place where Moses was entering with his legs shaking like this, that the Israelites before the Mount Sinai, they say, we prefer to stay behind. And that when the high priest, when he was entering once a year, he was also with the legs shaking because he said, wow, maybe it's the last time I enter it because I will just die in. So we have, but on the opposite, we have confidence to enter this place by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's the first verse where the context, the paradigm, and this is the consequence for us today. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, a pure heart, an honest heart, in full assurance of faith, because he says a few verses later, I think, that we must come to God believing, having faith that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. And without faith, we cannot approach God. That's as simple as that. So we have sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our body washed with pure waters. Hallelujah. So I realize this opposition is that the same place that Moses was entering, we can enter it freely. We can enter it freely today. That's the part of being a new creation, I realize. If I bound myself to just, living in the Old Testament, so just going to church and whatever, if I don't have intimacy with God, if I don't enter the Holy of Holies by myself, I don't really live as a new creation. Because that's part of our inheritance. And last time I read the book of Colossians, and I was just mind blown, by the privileges that we have as a new creation. It's not just we are saved, we go to heaven. There's much more than that. Actually, we can enter the Holy of Holies. The same place Moses went to hear the voice of God, we can enter. We can hear ourselves the voice of God. We can enter that place today. We can enter that place every day. How do we enter it? Do we enter it often? When we are at home, do we enter the Holy of Holies often? This is an experience that we have to live on earth. Because very often we say, I'm saved, I will see the Lord when I come to heaven. No, we can see the Lord on earth. We can see the Lord on earth. I'm just, personally, I'm frustrated and excited at the same time when I hear those testimony of people who say, wow, I saw this vision, or the Lord spoke to me, or an angel appeared to me, or I received a vision in the Lord. You know that in the Muslim world today, there are so many people who just Jesus appeared to them. And I say, Lord, and me, you forgot me. But we can live the same. Since we are the temple of God, we just have to enter this temple, enter the Holy of Holies with confidence, with a sincere heart, and with assurance. Now, I want to take you a step further into intimacy, into entering the Holy of Holies. Can we read, please, from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18? And we with unveiled faces, all reflect, and the SV version says, we behold the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. From this comes from the Spirit, from the Lord who is the Spirit. I read the ESV version because I prepared with the ESV. And the following verse, if you can go to the following verse, which is chapter 4, verse 1, but should be 3:19, because it's the continuation of what he says. He said, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Can you come back, please, to the previous one? Which ministry do we have? We have the ministry of being transformed into the likeness of Christ by God Himself. Because He said, this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are transformed in His likeness. That's His purpose for us on earth. That's not just you are saved, you wait, you go to heaven. He wants to transform us. He wants to transform us, but how? Because actually, a whole point of what I want to say is on beholding. Beholding the glory of the Lord. Beholding is a strong word. It's not just having a glance or just having a look. Beholding means to gaze upon, to fix. So as we gaze upon the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. And the word for transformed is the same that is used in the transfiguration. It's the same that is used when Paul says in Romans, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that means be transfigured. So we are transfigured. We are transfigured as we are beholding His glory. We are transfigured. And personally, I take that literally. I don't, you know, sometimes we may think, yeah, Paul was trying to do some poetry at that point, or he was speaking in metaphors, or yeah, he didn't really mean that. But I think he meant that. I think he meant that because it's what happened to Moses as well. When we read in Exodus 34, verse 30. I guess my accent is terrible. Yeah, it sure makes more sense, yeah. So when Aaron and Moses was coming down from the Mount Sinai, where he has been in the presence of God, when Aaron and the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Moses has been in the presence of God, and his face really shone, and they had to put a veil on his face, because his face was shining too much. And this is what Paul is referring when he wrote to the Corinthians. How do I know that? Not by revelation, but because he explained it himself. So we go back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. I have previously read the verse 18. Let's go to the verse 13. The first, yeah. Paul said, and not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the son of Israel would not see intently at the hand of what was fading away. And maybe go to the verse 14. It's a bit different. No, go to the verse 12. So, thank you. That's what I want. Very good, thank you. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. And we are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face. What does that mean? Moses has to put a veil. But in our paradigm, it's remove the veil. Let the glory of God shine on your face, literally. Because to the same place Moses entered and came back shining, we should come back with the same face shining. Our face should be literally transformed. And I know that this happened to me a few times when I've been, for example, in spending a long moment, an intense moment in the presence of God. Then I looked at myself in the mirror and I could really, like, behold, my face was different. I was shining. My eyes were like this. My face was wow. And I said, wow, I could almost see Jesus in me. And to give you a counter example, when I was working, so I used in France, I was a student studying economics, but I used also to work in a bank office, a part-time job. And once I was studying in, working at that office, and there's a man that came. And you know this, when you are working, I mean, you have to be compliant. And the client is the boss. You cannot do whatever you. This guy arrived like this. And I was like, wow. Usually clients are that kind, happy to see me. And I thought, wow, this guy must not be really happy in his life. I say, if only knew Jesus, his face will change. So he gave me his name. I opened the file. And when I opened the file, I saw his job, pastor. I was like, first, God, sorry, forgive me for thinking that. And secondly, please do something for his life. Because if he only knew I was Christian, but I was working crazy hours, and I was happy. He was coming to put money on his account, the good news. And he was with this face, and I was like, wow. Wow, I think he needs more intimacy with God. I don't think he entered very, very often the Holy of Holies. That was a silly example, but that was just to show you. Can you come back, please, to the verse 18? As we are so focused on this verse, especially this verse, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, I want to emphasize us something when we are having time with God, is to have quality time. Quality time. First of all, I mean, quantity, of course, because if you have, but there's a need for quality time. Quality time includes four things. First of all, a focused and undivided attention. This is the hard thing, isn't it? When you are in time with God, focused and undivided attention. I say, God, I focus on you and nothing else. I don't even think about what I will do tomorrow. My problem is that I have this. No, I just silence my mind. Literally, I shut up my mind and I focus on God with an undivided attention. Second point, transparency, honesty. And as Hebrew that we have read put it, a sincere heart. We cannot come to God. I would not say hypocrisy because it's a hard word. But very often, we come to... And I did it myself. I'm talking out of experience. I would come to God and say, oh God, okay, I don't have to think about my problem. God, you are great. God, I worship you. But at the same time, my mind was extremely worried about my problem. But this is not a honest heart. I thought, yeah, if I forget about my problem and I think that God is bigger, no, and I just worship God, it's okay. I don't have to come to God with my problems. But that's the opposite, actually. A sincere heart means, God, I come to you, God. Look, you see that this trouble in my life, I don't know what to do. You see that I have lack of faith to believe in that. You see that I've been unkind to that person and I ask you sorry. But I know that you are bigger than my problem. I know that you are bigger than my unbelief. And I just come to worship you and know that you are the solution. This is a sincere heart. We reveal the truth, but we believe that he is bigger than our circumstances or problem or whatever. So we were with a focused and undivided attention, honest heart, and myself, I've been sometimes afraid by my honesty. I thought, can I really say that to God? Then I was remembered that he is God. So I say, yeah, and that he knows everything anyway, but he's just waiting for us to tell him. So I just say sometimes, I say, yeah, God, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. Sometimes I say, God, I'm sorry, but I don't believe that you love me. And then he appreciated my honesty, and he answered to me. Because if you never confess your lack, your fears, or your problems with God, I think he will answer, but he's just waiting for you to tell him what is in your heart. Third point is listening. When we come back to Moses again, who was listening, he was hearing, but the word, yeah, I did some Hebrews research the day for this preaching. The word used for here is the same, listening with careful attention, paying attention to the details. We need to listen from God. Have we ever heard from God? Because it's good to speak, but we need to take some time to listen. That's part of our quality time. You know, sometimes we are glad because God speaks to us through someone else. We say, yeah, I've received the word of prophecy. But actually, God wanted to tell that thing directly to us, but we were not listening, so he couldn't tell us. We need to spend time listening for God. Sorry, listening God. Sometimes taking just half an hour and saying, okay, I will not speak, I will just listen to you, God. In half an hour, I mean, maybe much more. The fourth thing is this thing of quality time that I explained to you is something that I mean that is real, that is a fact proven, and that works in interpersonal relationship. I just apply it in our relationship with God. So we are focused on inviting attention, transparency, listening, and fourthly, eye contact. How do we make eye contact with God? Honestly, I wonder myself, but I love this challenge because it means I just close my eyes and I need to see nothing but God, and I will maybe never see God coming. But I will just focus so much. I will try I will try all my strength to make eye contact with God. That's an amazing thought and an amazing challenge. Eye contact, because exactly, beholding the glory of the Lord. We need to behold the glory of the Lord. We need to behold the face of God. We need to be like this, to be like this, like Moses was. We need to hear from him, and we need intimacy, because this can happen in the church, yes, but it needs to happen every day, because it's a treasure that we have. We need to live that every day. We need every day to come in intimacy with God. We need to come in intimacy with God, because this only brings the outward transformation. Only intimacy brings the outward transformation. He say himself, as we are being transformed into the same image, as our face are shining, as when we are beholding the face of God. When we are beholding His glory, our faces will shine. You know, I've learned, and I'm still learning, I'm only 22, that intimacy is the solution for everything. That's why we say Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. When people say, what is your religion? I'm Christian. No, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Because really, religion is you do with your work, but religion can never bring freedom. Religion will never make our face shining. But relationship will. As we come to God, and we just come, and then we go out, and our face is shining. The answer for everything is intimacy. The answer, if we struggle with our sins, if we cannot get rid of them, if we are sad, if we are depressed, if we are anxious, I'm anxious as well about my future, but I find my answer in intimacy. When I come close to God, the rest seems rubbish. When I come close to God, I even forget about my sin. When I'm in intimacy with God, I'm not even worried about my future. I say, oh God, I know that you are thing. Why am I worried usually? Yeah, because I'm not in intimacy with you. Intimacy is Christianity, basically. Intimacy is Christianity. And Jesus himself showed the pattern for intimacy. I will just quote one verse as confirmation of what I say, which is Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter and the verse 25. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. Jesus, who was the Son of God, he was waking up in the morning to pray with God. And in some other passages, he say he was up all the night on the mountain, and every time before any major event, he would go to pray. That's intimacy. That's quality time with God. That's what we need. That's true Christianity. Jesus showed the pattern. And I just want to give you another hint into intimacy. So we come back once again to my favorite verse of today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 17-18. I just hope I don't lose you with all this verse, but it's to illustrate how everything is connected and how through this verse, Paul linked it with the rest of the Bible. Hey, good point. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. But we all with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. We have seen all of this from glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I want to emphasize on the point, the Spirit. We need to meet God in the Spirit. Ephesians 6, chapter 18. Just after Paul talked about the armor of God, the armor of God that we should wear, he said, "Take the sword, that is the word of God, and at all time pray in the Spirit." I'm not talking about praying by the Spirit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about something as praying in the Spirit. The same thing that Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John 4, where he said, "The Lord." I have it. The Lord is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in Spirit and truth. God is Spirit. We need to meet God in Spirit. What does that mean? Ourselves, we are mind, body, soul, body, and spirit. We need to silence the mind. We need to silence the body, and we need to have the Spirit come alive. When we're born again, our spirit come alive to God. Because when you are not born again, you Your spirit is dead to God in a sense. But when you born again, your spirit is alive. But then you need to live in the spirit. You need to pray in the spirit to meet God in the spirit. And if it's not the spirit controlling our life, it will be the mind or the body. But when we come in intimacy to God, with God, when we come to this retired place on the morning like Jesus did, we say, I silence my body. I don't listen to my body. I silence my mind. I close all my thoughts. I take my thoughts captive in Jesus Christ. And I just come in the spirit to meet God. I come in the spirit. And I did that myself. What I talked to you today, I've experienced it because I've taken this habit at IBTI to wake up early on in the morning to spend maybe 1 hour with Jesus. And I would just go to that place, that retired place in the wood, and I will spend time in intimacy. I will pray and I will try to connect in the spirit. Sometimes it's hard. How much harder it is after a day of work when you have all your thoughts going on. But we need to say silence. We need to say silence. I come in the spirit to meet God. And that's in the spirit that we receive revelation. That's in the spirit that we receive the freedom. And I myself experienced this as I was in the spirit, as I was spending time in intimacy, meeting God in the spirit, my face was transformed. My character was transformed. I was free from everything. And the days just seem amazing. When I breakfast, having breakfast, the first thing of the day, I was feeling like killing everyone. Now, when I spend this time with God, I just feel, wow, I love everyone. And I saw things. My eyes were opened. I listened to God. I received many words from God for myself. And the thing that makes the difference is that from that moment, no one came with the word of prophecy anymore to me, because I received directly from God. That wasn't a one-way relationship as it is in the Old Testament when they say, come, humble yourself, turn from your wicked ways, and pray to me, and I will bless you. That's a two-ways relationship. We talk to God, He talks to us. We need to listen to God. And this morning is only a call to intimacy. I think we all have intimacy with God. But if we cannot increase this time in quantity because we say maybe I spend only already 2, 3, 4 hours with God a day, we can improve it in quality through quality time, through meeting God in the Spirit, because it's only there that we will have our answer. It's only there that we will have freedom. It's there that we will not even... During a long time, I was trying to deal with my sin by myself. I was trying to deal with hunger. I was trying to deal with unbelief by myself. I said, oh, maybe if I do that. I was reading book and all the stuff. And at the end, I realized it's just when I come to God. I say, God, I just want to take from you. I just want to be transformed. I want my face to be transformed and I want to shine your light. My favorite verse, which is Psalm 34, verse 11, says, those who look at him are radiant, hallelujah, and their faces shall never be ashamed. If you have in your life, or maybe you can see in your face when you look at the mirror, you see that there is sadness, that there is anger, that there is, I don't know what, that there is disappointment with yourself or whatever, the answer is intimacy. Let's just come to God when we are alone. Let's maybe, I don't know, wake up earlier in the morning or whatever, just to locate some time in the week to spend more time with God. David again said in the Psalm 27, verse 4, and I conclude with that. He said, one thing I will seek after. Yeah, worship team, you can come from if you want. One thing I will seek after all my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, so in the presence of the Lord, at all days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him and meditate in His temple, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. If you can just remember one thing from this morning, is that God wants to meet you in intimacy. God wants you to behold His face and His glory and to be transformed, that all the people outside will see your face shining. They will see something different in you. They will see something different. Christianity is just a relationship. Let's go in intimacy. Let's spend quality time with God. And let's be transformed. Let's be transformed as we behold His face in the same image. Hallelujah. Shall we pray together? Oh, Father, I thank you for your word that is truth. I thank you for your word that guides us. I thank you that we have nothing to do on ourselves. We are no strive for whatsoever, Lord. But we can just come in your presence. And in your presence, there is freedom. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, as we are beholding you, we literally transformed and our faces are shining. I thank you, Lord, because if today my face is shining and today I have this smile, it's just because I have you in my life. It's for nothing else. It's for nothing else. You know it, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you, as we are praying now and as we are worshiping you, Lord, your Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts. Your Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts about when allocating more time, about how spending more quality time with you, about how meeting you with more efficiency, about how being transformed, and about setting the bar higher for our expectations, Lord. Because too often we expect that we will see you in heaven, but Lord, we want to see the outcome. We want to see the fruit of this relationship. We want to see the fruits of the sacrifice of Jesus on this earth, Lord. We want to see on this earth. We want to see it in our lives. So I just pray for every one of us, Lord. I just pray that you minister to our hearts now. And you speak to us. Show us that intimacy is the answer for everything. We must not try by ourselves to do anything, Lord, but just come to you. Come to you. You have the words of eternal life. We can only come to you and receive from you and be transformed by you. Hallelujah, Lord.